be sick. I can't even take myself seriously. Happy St. Patty's Day, everyone. And welcome back to Oh My Lanta. How's everyone doing on this fine Monday morning? It's currently Sunday when I'm recording this, and I need it to be known. It's snowing outside right now here in Chicago on March 16th. Bro, why is it snowing? That criminal offense right there. The world is dying. That's wild. Snowing. Hey, one more time. It's snowing outside right now while the river is green. Crazy. Wow. It's been St. Patty's weekend here in Chicago. Yesterday, meaning Saturday, they dyed the river green. I had my girl Jess here with me, and it was so fun. We got a really close view, which I was so surprised by. You will never see more people in Chicago than on St. Patty's Day. Like, I genuinely believe that. It's crazy how busy it is. It's like worse than spring break at Disney, and that's saying something. but it's a lot of fun, and it's very quiet outside as far as like people today, because I think everyone is hungover and sleeping in and getting brunch. Yeah, because it's, what time is it? It's just after 10 in the morning. I've been ready to record this for the past like hour or so. I was ready last night, but none of my devices were charged. And when they're not charged, I lose my mojo to record. So I charged them this morning, and here we are. Well, granted, actually, I only charged my iPad to 24%, so hopefully it makes it. Woo! All right, so I missed last week, but it was a busy weekend, and I didn't get home until like 6 p.m. on Sunday, and it was not the vibe recording. I was just not in the headspace. So here we are, and now it's been 2 weeks since the Oscars, so it would have been very much more fun for me to talk about last week, but alas, here we are, and I'm human. Anora won Best Picture. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm gonna watch it. I'm not surprised at all. Wasn't expecting Wicked to get Best Picture. But honestly, like, I really think The Substance deserved it. And what is that? What's that girl's name? Miss Girl. Her name. My mom and dad both took notes. There's so many names and notes in front of me right now. I should have organized these. They used note cards and guessed what they thought would win and then went against what my guess was. Hello, where is it? Okay, wait, that's has to be here. Actor. What, who is the girl that won? I don't remember her name. That's so embarrassing. Well, Miss Girl, that's 24, however old she is, that won for Anora. Congrats. Here's the thing, right? I haven't seen it. I've seen snippets and stuff, but like, she's so early on in her career. Like, maybe she won't get another chance like this, but it just like, I don't know, for Demi Moore, and obviously I'm partial to Cynthia. I love her. I feel like they were kind of clowning. I don't know. I think Demi Moore really deserved it too. But I haven't seen it, so who am I to judge? But I did get Kiernan correct. He won, period. gross. but here's the thing, too. I was thinking about this. If they're having a nominee for Best Actor or Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress open the Oscars, I don't think they're going to win. And I subconsciously was thinking that 2 weeks ago. I was like, there's no way they're going to have them open this and then they win. I just felt like it was just kind of like doomed to begin with. But my thing is, same time next year, Wicked Part 2 for good, I think maybe there's a chance. And I feel like, obviously, Defying Gravity and Popular and all this stuff are in the first act, the first half of Wicked. But I think the vocally challenging and like, the color, what is that, coloratura? kind of, I don't think I'm saying that right. Coloratura. Why'd I say it like that? Coloratura? It's something like that. I feel like those kind of songs are in part two. And oh my gosh, As Long As You're Mine, I am chomping at the bit to hear Jonathan Bailey and Cynthia Erivo sing that song. My dream day is that my significant other and I could sing that song together. Is it unlikely? Very much so. But I just, oh my gosh, I love that song. And we're going to get For Good with Cynthia and Ariana. Oh my gosh, I can't speak as an Ariana. We're going to get that song. That's so, we're going to be holding space for Good. Like that, there's nothing that matches that song. And then Ariana singing I'm Not That Girl part two, or reprise, why did I say part two? It's just, oh, it's going to be so heartbreaking. I'm so excited. There's so many good songs. And oh my gosh, Cynthia singing No Good Deed. Hello. It's going to be incredible. And I need, the one thing that I dislike about Defying Gravity is that, like, you can hear it when it's like studio recorded. Like there's just some kind of like slight, like, oh, okay, wait, this is how I visualize it. So, you know, back in the day when there was just that kind of like hint of grainy, like in TV shows, like the filming, there was like that grain kind of like to the camera, but now it's so crystal clear. That's what it was like listening to Defying Gravity. There was a point where it had that kind of like grain, and then it was like crystal clear, like buffed, no imperfections kind of a thing. Not that I'm saying there should be or would have been imperfections, but like it just didn't sound natural in that moment. Like it just sounded like too buffed out, perfect. It's like, it's like shiny SpongeBob. For those of you that know, no. It's when SpongeBob is like completely crystal clear, buffed out, no edges, he's round and smooth. That's what Defying Gravity sounded like to me halfway through. When Cynthia started like singing, when it goes to, it's me, ew, I can't sing right now. But like that, you can hear like this, like the editing of the song take over, like them like buffing it or whatever, whatever they do. But to me, I wish it didn't have that. That's my only gripe with the entire soundtrack is that one part, and there's just a shift. So I'm really, really hoping that we get like the grittiness of No Good Deed, and oh man, I'm so excited. How do I always somehow, everything leads back to Wicked. I was right on a good amount of my choices. Film editing, did I get that? Yeah, I got that. Which one? Dune 2 took sound. Oh, costuming. Wicked got costuming, which is amazing because the costume designer, which those, the pants that I was wearing 2 weeks ago to manifest Wicked winning Best Picture, which it didn't. So a lot of good that did. he designed like those pants for a Target collection. And he's the first ever Black male to win costume design. And I just think that's really iconic. And in my opinion, from my, like, thinking back in, like, child Haley, I guess when I think of costume design, I only think of, like, these super quirky, like, older women winning. And not older, but, like, maybe, like, middle-aged women winning. You know, like, they have, like, the vibe of, oh, what's her name? Why did I just... I can see her face. She plays, was she Tim Burton's wife? I'm looking her up. How am I forgetting this? Oh, Helena Bonham Carter. They have like a Helena Bonham Carter vibe about them. All the costume designers that I feel like are nominated. But like, I don't know. I don't ever remember a male winning, which is just literally me not being in tune with that, so oh well. But for some reason, when I picture someone winning for a costume design, it's those like funky, super like all different textiles and big glasses and stuff, and just like Fancy Nancy type of person winning. And it was just so cool, and I think it's really awesome. So Oscars aren't completely disappointing, other than what's his name? He's not even worth knowing his name, because the guy that won Best Actor, I can't remember his name, and it's fine. Him throwing his gum, and he's just snarky. I'm sorry. He gave me yucky vibes. And then him basically being like, I've already won one of these. Like, it's just, it's gross. It's gross. Can we stop letting people like this win with this kind of attitude? And I'm not saying Timothée Chalamet won't get another chance, but like, he's honestly incredible. And those of you that think he's not would be wrong. Sorry. Like, I feel like he's getting to the equivalence of what's like a big actor, like Leonardo DiCaprio, but for like my generation, like that kind of level, but better in my opinion. Cause like he can low key sing too. So anyways, and I like how weird he is in interviews. He's so out of pocket and he's so, like internet deep cuts that I love it. It's so funny. Okay, so I have a lot of notes for this week, and I don't know how I came across having this much stuff to talk about, but I think I was just feeling very out of pocket this week for some reason. And I say out of pocket meaning like weird girl vibes, like weird girl vibes. Like genuinely, I was never meant to be a chill, quiet, very like demure girl, because I am the embodiment of Donkey from Shrek, Stitch, Joe March, and the Grinch. Those are like, now I know I have, those are the four horsemen of the apocalypse that created me. I yap all the time. I'm snarky. I speak up for things that need to be spoken for. And I'm sarcastic and a little turd sometimes. Now I can be very sweet. I can be very like girly in the sense of just like any animal that walks by me, I want to pet it and I want to know its name. And I feel sympathy for it, but not like, oh, but just like, oh my gosh, maybe that's not sympathy, whatever. I give a personality to any inanimate object because I feel bad when I wake up in the morning and if a stuffed animal, I'm talking so fast right now. Can you tell that I just chugged an Alani? Anyways, when I wake up in the morning and if I see if one of my little stuffed animals that's on the top of my bed are on the floor, I genuinely shed a tear. I feel so guilty. I give it a kiss and I apologize, and I apologize to its friends for letting him fall off the bed, and I feel so bad. Literally, I carry that guilt with me for at least an hour. and this is for a stuffed animal. But like, if you don't feel bad, what's wrong with you? You're cold-hearted. Okay, Mr. Scrooge. What is that? What's that called? Not snipe. Well, they could. Someone's got to tranquilize me. That's what I was trying to say. I am moving at the speed of Barry. What's his name? Barry Allen right now. Running around the world, running, revolving. Oh, okay. I need to stop. Okay. Speaking of Stitch, the Lilo and Stitch trailer came out, you guys. When I tell you I was like radiating excitement to watch this trailer. Okay, let's talk about this real quick, part of it. Everybody is hating on the Pleakley design. My thing, let me rant real quick, because I've heard no one take this side. They're in it for maybe five seconds, and they're in human form. Everybody's like, where's my little, I can't say the words that I want to say to describe Pleakley on this podcast, but like girly pop, like drag queenified Pleakley. My thing is that like it looks like the first time that they're changing into something, like taking their human form, because in the movies, in Lilo and Stitch, Pleakley and Jumba are just Pleakley and Jumba. They're aliens, but with like human clothing on. What is that? A wolf in sheep's clothing? Wait, no. Sheep and wolf. Anyways, we're not going to linger on that. now that makes me think, you got me wrapped around your finger. Okay. but they show it like 5 seconds, and Jumba is in his iconic Hawaiian shirt, like little Jimmy Buffett vibes, Margaritaville, and then he turns Pleakley into a dude. But my thing is that, like, they're like, oh my gosh, Pleakley isn't looking like Pleakley. This is a mess. Like, we need our little drag queen kind of vibe for Pleakley. But they're in it for like 5 seconds. Maybe this is the first time they're changing, and then they go out onto Earth, and then Pleakley sees how women are dressing, and then Pleakley is like, you know what? No, Jumba, you made me look like this. I want to look like this. And also my thing is too, in this day and age, I'm sorry, but there are some people and their views and parents and stuff like that. If they were to see that on a kid's trailer, it's probably going to deter some people from wanting to take their kid to go see the movie. Like, genuinely, it's unfortunate. It shouldn't be that way. But like, that probably would happen. And also, they don't need to give all their cards up in the trailer. Like, that's an iconic little Pleakley thing, a little character development thing. It's not little. It's, like, the main thing about Pleakley. But they're not, I don't think they're going to change that. And if they do, then I'll eat my words. I'll eat it. I'll write it on a paper, and I'll eat the paper. But like, why would they give up that iconicness? I just made that a word. That iconicness of Pleakley in the 5 seconds that they're in the trailer. It's dumb. Now, my personal opinion that I agree with people is that I think Nani looks a little too young, and Nani was always kind of like, I mean, when I was a kid, obviously it wasn't like Nani was an adult to me when I was watching it as a kid, but she's like 17, maybe 18. I think she's 17 because like technically I don't think she can be Lilo's guardian. But she was always curvy, and like, when I was older, like a teenager and stuff like that, I kind of like felt seen by Nani's character design because she was a curvier girl. And I am feeling a little upset that Nani looks kind of really young. Like, she looks like 16, 17, which isn't that far off, but she just looks young. You know how some people have a younger face, but they could be like 30. I don't know. You know, but then they're giving like early 20s. But she's not that curvy, which like isn't anything against the actress. I just think there were more accurate casting they could have done with that. And also the Cobra Bubbles actor, I don't know. It's not giving. It's giving kind of hokey right now. But Cobra Bubbles is like bad A, dark-skinned black man, like, don't mess with me, I'll beat you up. But this is kind of giving, I don't even know. Like, I don't know. Like, hunky-dory kind of version of Cobra Bubbles. Because Cobra Bubbles is voiced by the guy that plays Luther in Mission Impossible. Which, like, he's literally the embodiment of Cobra Bubbles. Like, 100%. And I understand that, like, that actor most likely isn't going to be in a Lilo and Stitch live action. Like, I saw some people saying, like, it's very hard to get him to do movies or whatever. Which, like, okay, icon, you're still doing Mission Impossible, love you. But I don't know, that I'm a little disappointed. And then David, the guy that plays David, also looks a little dorky. David is supposed to be a hunky man, and he's not giving that. But if you look at how they casted Nani, then they're kind of compatible. So like, it kind of works. I don't know, we'll see. But either way, the trailer made me cry, made my mom cry. My parents and I are so excited. This movie was like an iconic staple in our household. And Stitch at the very end of the trailer being like, bang, 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 bang. That's me, dude. I don't know. Just the out of pocket way that he acts and just creating trouble. Like, that Stitch is kind of the equivalence to me of Lilo touching the butt of the boat. That was me as a kid. That's still me. Like, seeing how far I can push the line, and then sometimes respecting that line, sometimes not. I know I'm a shyster, but I just kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of fun to just, like, I always do it in a joking manner too, but it's like, how far can I do this joke? That kind of a thing. I love Stitch, and I think he looks adorable. And now my thing, I don't like how Stitch is on, like, every like t-shirt and stuff like that, like at Walmart. Like, I feel like it looks very, I don't know, just kind of like trashy in a way of like how his merch is and stuff. And I wish there was more stuff with Lilo on it. And so like the way I describe this is when I buy stuff that's like merch related, like shirt or sweatshirt, I like it to be like in universe, you know, or to have like, there's nothing that I can think of like Lilo and Stitch wise. Like maybe it could be like a surf shop or something like that. That would be cool. That's like Lilo and Stitch related, but like it's low key. But a part of me, I'm really trying to not buy as many like character based stuffed animals and just do like I love jelly cats. I just bought a new one. It's a little cinnamon bun. Adorable. But like I'm trying to stay away from buying like characters as stuffed animals because I feel like the jelly cats are more timeless kind of. But I'm going to be really tempted with a live action Stitch stuffed animal. I just know I am. Unless his eyes are super creepy. That's the one thing I was thinking is like, what makes him live action? The coloring and the eyes. If the eyes are scary, it's a no-go for me. But yeah, I'm really excited for this movie. I think it's going to be so fun. The music makes me cry. The Elvis being in it, like Elvis is a staple with my family. My grandma has a 50s diner in her basement and Elvis is like integrated into that diner. And I'm not even joking, a 50s diner. Imagine what a 50s diner looks like and then just plop it in someone's basement. That's in my grandma's basement. And then my grandpa, he had a record room and it's just like Elvis. Like Elvis is such a big staple. When I was 12, we went to Graceland. We went to Graceland once before, or like I did when I was super young, which I didn't even remember, but we did because there were pictures and I saw it a couple weekends ago. It's just, we love Elvis in this household. We are Elvis family. And so like Lilo and Stitch having Elvis, like Elvis being such, how many times am I going to say Elvis? But like Lilo having that connection with Elvis is just so adorable. And it just, oh, this movie encapsulates like part of my childhood. Yeah, and I love it. So very excited for that. Oh my word. I'm looking at my notes right now and I typed Spider-Man 4. I must have been really tired when I was typing this because what am I trying to call a cat through my notes? And tell your cats that I say for me. Do you guys just hear my sink do that thing again? That's the first time since like I last recorded 2 weeks ago. So what I was trying to say when typing my notes as a dummy that I must have been when typing it, or very tired. So one of my best friends, Aiden, probably over a year ago, he gifted me his PS4 because he got the PS5, I think. Did he get it? Yeah. I think. I could be wrong. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't even think he listens to this. Love you, Aiden. But I have not used it. And I just haven't. I'm really bad about getting stuff or doing things and then never, like, using it for some reason. And I got to be better at that. Like, as far as, like, games or something that, like, dedicates a lot of time and I can't just sit down and do it all at once. For the longest time, I'm all over the place. For the longest time, I've seen a lot of really cool Spider-Man PS4 game edits. And so I was like, I kind of want to buy the game. And in 2019, my boyfriend at the time was like really obsessed with the game. And so I remember seeing the gameplay and it was really cool, but I was kind of like intimidated by it. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I had to just pause because my sink kept making that sound and it was so distracting and I couldn't think while talking. So I pulled the trigger. There it is. And bought the game. And oh my gosh, you guys, it's so fun. I get it. It's the first one. I think there are three. There's at least two. I know that. And it's so much fun. I love it. I am just zipping around New York, flying on my web shooters. I don't know why I started talking like that. but It's so fun. I love collecting the little backpacks and finding all those things. It was great. And the first night that I played it, I zoned out and I played for 3 hours, and I didn't intend to do that for that long. And I wanted to keep playing, but I had to go to bed to go to work the next day. And the entire time I was fighting Kingpin, I was like, bow, 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 bow. If y'all know what comes next, then you guys know. But I kept doing that on repeat when I was trying to hit him. And it was just so fun. And I was talking to my friend, and I'm like, am I a streamer? Do I stream? Because low-key, I think my commentary is funny. But I don't know. It could just be me. But it's so fun to play. And I get it. I get it now. And am I a gamer girly? Maybe so. There's one uprising, I guess. I think I'm going to play more today. I'm definitely going to play more today because I have nothing going on. You know what I have to do? 3 loads of laundry. And you know what I can't do? 3 loads of laundry because our washers have been down since Thursday. I have one more work outfit clean. Like, I could legitimately cry because I'm so angry that I can't get that done. And the basket right now is giving me the dirtiest look, literally, because it's dirty laundry. What a turd. It drives me nuts that I can't get that done and check that off my list. But my hands are tied. Anyways, Spider-Man PS4, I love it. And I'm going to play it more today. And it's just like soothing. It really is. It's just so fun. And if you haven't played it, which I'm sure everyone has played it, and I am the last one to join, but like, I kind of prefer it like that. It's like I've talked about with Hamilton and different things that have been like hyped. And I'm not saying that Spider-Man was overhyped, but just like consistently talked about, it makes me be like, meh. But also I didn't have a means or, well, like way of playing it, but now I do. And I'm going to be playing it. I got to get my money's worth too. You know how much I spent? $45. Actually, it was $43. $43. But I got a bunch of whatever those are called, like the additional little games. There are like 3 of those that came with it. I think it was like the entire pack or something like that. Honestly, I didn't care because I played it for 3 hours and I only am 1% into the game. So if I can play it for 43 hours, that's only $1 an hour. And that is what, my friends? Girl math. So it's worth it. And if the side games or whatever the heck that's called, like additional content, takes me longer too, then that's like probably like less. That's less than $1 an hour. So I think that's worth that in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, you guys, my family, I think I've talked about this before. My family is a big like survivor family. I love it. And that has been like a constant staple in our household ever since I was a child, and The Amazing Race. But The Amazing Race is fun, but I feel like it's kind of died off like content wise. Like, it's still fun, but nothing matches Survivor. And the oversaturation in the editing, I love it. I love how bright their buffs are, and like the bright blue water and the trees are so fluorescent green. It's perfect. But if you guys aren't watching right now, then spoiler alert. But also, I have to talk about this because I have to rant, because this most recent tribal council on Survivor was so aggravating and had to be the dumbest move in one of my opinions. So basically, this tribe keeps losing. So they have to keep going to tribal council. And there's only 4 players left. Okay. One of them, they definitely want out. And then the other one doesn't have a vote. So only 2 people can vote. And this girl that they want out, I can't remember any of their names right now. I'm still not attached enough to know their names. She plays her shot in the dark, which a shot in the dark means you lose your vote, but there's a chance that you are safe. And if you're safe, then nobody can vote for you. You can't cast a vote, but nobody can vote for you, and you will make it through the tribal council. But your chances are really low because you could get a not safe. So you're not safe and you just lost your vote. So it's really risky. But like, if you're at the point like she was, I would have played my shot in the dark, because at that point I have 3 people, technically only two people against me, I'm instantly out. But yeah, so she played her shot in the dark. She was safe. Love her. I like her gameplay. There's this other girl in the tribe, right? And I do not like her. I think, like, you know, there's something about being abrasive and, like, having, like, an upfront game. But she's so, like, the fact that day one they got on the island, she wasn't even, like, getting to know her teammates. She instantly was looking for immunity idol, which I get it. And that's very bold. But, like, I just think that's such a weird way to play Survivor. Like, you need to make your why did I just forget that word is? Not team, your... Oh, man, why can't I think of it? Your alliance. You should be working on your alliances, and, like, it's a very social game. And then, like... And then look for the idol, but, like... Or for the... Yeah, for immunity. But, like, I don't know. It was just so bold, and I didn't like it. And I was just like... Like, yeah, of course you're gonna find it. If you're gone for 5 hours looking for it, you're gonna find it. But, like, but now everyone knows your true intentions. And so basically it was her and these two men. This one guy with the pizza shirt icon, he lost his vote because he got chosen to go to the, for like a quest, whatever it's called. And basically, like, you could possibly win an advantage, or you lose your vote if you participate. Or if you lose, like, playing the game. He lost his vote. And then there's this other guy, right? So only two people can vote, because Miss Girl played her shot in the dark. She's safe, but she loses her vote no matter what from playing her shot in the dark. And Pizza Shirt Guy, he lost his vote. But the other girl on the team, the one that was looking for the immunity idol, doesn't know that he doesn't have a vote. So only two people can vote, okay? The other man on the team, on the tribe, is voting for the girl that was looking for the immunity idol. But she doesn't know that. She knows one of the two guys are voting for her, but she doesn't know that the one guy doesn't have a vote. So they voted three times, and it kept coming up as a tie. And basically what happens then is that then they would play and they would do something. But this was a very crazy thing because they were deadlocked. Like, and the only person that had a say of who stays and who goes is the other guy, not the pizza shirt guy, the other guy. And he was going to keep his friend, the pizza shirt guy that he has known since day one, connected with. But he was also like, in my opinion, hold up. I know this is confusing at how I'm explaining this, but just imagine it being like tea that I'm spilling, and maybe you can hang on with me. But in my opinion, where I would be if I was in his shoes is everyone knows the girl that was looking for the immunity idol day one, whatever, knows that he has gone against his alliance with her and has been voting for her the past three times that same tribal council. So already my trust would be gone with you, because you didn't change your mind. You decided you're going to get me out and you're going to stick with your friend, the other man, and you want me out. So I would be thinking, like, she's not going to trust me. So she has to go. And my thing is that their tribe is so small. After this elimination, there's going to be three of them. There would obviously be a merge coming out, because they would not have three people from the other two teams sit out for the next game. That's not how they would do that. So I would be thinking, there's going to be a merge. She is not going to work with me anymore, because she's going to find someone else. And then her next person that she would at least be, I would be in her top consideration of who she wants to vote out next, because she knows she can't trust me. So, but this man decides to keep her and gets rid of his pizza friend. Like, that is the dumbest thing ever. And what he did, I'm like yelling into this mic. And what he did was he made her and the other girl promise to work together. Bro, they're not going to keep that promise. If they do, I'll be surprised. But they're not going to keep that promise, especially during the merge. Like, and I just think it was a really stupid play. Like, you should have kept your friend. And if he's on the other team, then that means that when it goes down to two teams instead of three, that you're going to have someone on the other team. And then if you both make it through the final merge to one tribe, you're going to have each other, and then you're going to know the other team's, the other player's way of playing through your friend. I just think it was really stupid, a really stupid play for an insane, insane blindside that could have been played. But I think this goes down as one of the dumbest plays. And I kind of hope it, I kind of hope it gets him. But also I want that girl gone. I don't like how she plays. It's just like, it's different, yes. And it's not the typical way that people would play. But like, I don't know. There's something about that that's like, you're not playing Survivor. You're just playing to say, I found the immunity idol. I did this. If someone's talking up a game instantly and being like, I run this, I do this, I da-da-da-da, you're not a good player to me. Like, your actions need to show that you're a good player, not you just voicing or vocalizing saying you're a good one. Anyways, that was my that was my rant on Survivor. Now, here's the thing that I think about all the time, which is so funny because, like, guys don't even know that I think this. I say guys, but, like, past relationships don't even know that I think this. But one of my big criteria going into a relationship and being in a relationship is, could I do the Amazing Race with you? And honestly, I think that should be a criteria for every woman, because you should know if you'd be able to do the Amazing Race with them. And I genuinely, in any of my past relationships, I know we would be the couple that Amazing Race would love, because there would be bickering. There would be like belittling. It makes it sound like I've been in like really awful relationships. I just mean like we can't communicate to those points of like effectively getting a job done or getting a task done like that. And those are bad signs. So I'm really going to stick to that kind of factor moving forward, because like, you guys, the Amazing Race, they eat that drama up. And some of these men, well, and the women too, but are awful to their partners. And then you wonder when they're out of the Amazing Race, it's like, are y'all still together? Come on now. Is this, there's no way you guys are still together. And if you are, I really hope it's not an abusive relationship. Like, there's some of those that are like questionable. Like, it kind of gets uncomfortable, dude. And yeah. And I think about like my parents. I think they would do really well in the Amazing Race because they both have like their skill sets and it mixes really well. I would pay big money to see my parents on the Amazing Race. It would be so fun. And yeah, I just think my mom and I, when I was younger, we would do like the iconic, like flip your hair, like flip your face towards the camera and your hair is like flipping behind you, like Amazing Race opener shot. And we have a photo of that, but I think we do have a video of that too, that we took like with one of our old cameras or something. It's just that kind of stuff that we do. But I genuinely think, ladies or whomever is looking for a partner, your big factor needs to be, could I do the Amazing Race with them? And that means like working as a team, like going through all these different challenges, being faced with literal roadblocks for the Amazing Race. Could you make it through? Could you make it through? Yeah, that's, I got to be able to do that with someone. Because see, in my head, my Amazing Race teammate, we would be the one that they would love because we're so funny. We're so funny. We have those great like one-liners. It's just like we're making good content that people love because we're hilarious. We're hilarious. And so that's my criteria for a future significant other. Yeah. So there's my two cents on that. Last thing that I have to talk about. This is on my notes. It's very unrelated to anything we've been talking about. And it's so funny because we are kind of all over the place. But I feel like this is a good, this really, I use the word encapsulates already, but this does just that of my brain. But something, I just recently watched Lizzie McGuire, the movie. And, you know, a little Sing to Me, Paolo kind of thing. I love, hold up. Now, this is Rome. They go to Rome, right? Yeah. I love a good like zooby zooby zoo. Zooby zooby zoo. There's a there's a playlist called Aperol Spritz that I learned about from Brittany Broski. And I love it. I love those vibes. Whenever I'm taking a shower, I have a little shower speaker that hangs up in my bathroom. It's waterproof. Now, granted, is it under the water? No. So either way, it doesn't really matter if it's waterproof, because it's not going to, I'm not going to test that theory, or that claim. But I always play that playlist because it just feels like I'm like living in Italy, or like I'm in Roma, and I have a little drink, and I'm just, ugh, it's, I'm tan. I have those nice sunglasses. I got a little flowy skirt, and I'm wearing like, oh, just imagining being well tanned with like gold stacked jewelry, like that is luxury. You got a cute little sandal on because you know you're not walking far because you are a resident. Like, oh man, zooby zooby zoo, zooby zooby zoo. I love. And so anyways, and also season two of Lotus, what? No. Why does that sound? What is that called? Why did I just, Lotus doesn't sound right. There's more of a name. Hold up. We're opening the max up. Lotus. White Lotus. I just remembered before I even saw it come up. And White Lotus season two is the perfect, like, full vibe that I love. But speaking of Lizzie McGuire, you know one of my Roman empires is? And now the term Roman empires, my gosh, I can't speak. The term Roman empire, for those of you that don't know, is there was like a joke or like trend going around saying like men quite frequently think about the Roman empire. So it became a trend of being like, what's your Roman empire? And I've said in the past, my Roman empire is being skinny. But you know what my Roman empires is? And this is something that I always think about and I stand on whenever I say it. The most irritating thing, I think the Lizzie McGuire movie is one of the most perfect DCOMs ever, which is Disney Channel original movie, for those of you that don't know, noobs, it is one of the most perfect, a good, like, Hilary Duff soundtrack, like, really showing her singing career, and it's about to, like, get into, like, her Metamorphosis album, like, it's incredible. The biggest flop and most unnecessary little scene that they needed in the Lizzie McGuire live action. What am I saying? The Lizzie McGuire movie is when she is singing, "This is what dreams are made of." Okay. And she's like, "I got someone new, I got," and it's the last part. And she's like, "Somebody to love." And it's showing her back, her like backside, and her hair is down, you know, and it's showing this like animated, I don't know, it just looks like green screen, and she's like doing these little like fisty, like arms bent, little like shimmy, and it's from the back. That is the fakest thing ever. I will die on this hill that is not Hilary Duff. Like, that just seems like they were like post whatever, like they're editing and stuff, things that they've shut down the shoot, the movie or whatever, the set. I can't speak, I'm getting really agitated because this bothers me so much. And they're like, you know what? We really need a cut of her from behind. Like, that would be beautiful with the stars in the back. You can see, like, it's not the Colosseum, but like, whatever, wherever they are in Rome. And it just, it's so animated. Like, that is not Hilary Duff. Like, her hair looks incredible in that movie. That is a wig. That is not Hilary Duff. And I hate that scene. If that one little clip was out, it would be fine. Like, it's really not necessary for us to see that. And it drives me nuts. Like, what made them? Because all the filming before that looks so good. It looks really believable. But you turn that around, it instantly looks CGI, fake, bad, boo. I hate it. I hate it. Disney, you know how you've gone back and edited movies like Lilo and Stitch, when Lilo gets into the dryer, you made that look like she's hiding behind a pizza box now? You need to just cut that part out and just show like the audience and hear her sing the "Somebody to Love." Ew. Like, you need to do that because that is awful and I hate it. It's my Roman Empire. If you ask any of my friends, they know that I hate that. I have such a big stance. And you know, I really try not to hate. Like, I'll say I strongly dislike if I say I hate something, I correct myself and be like, I strongly dislike. No, I hate. Imagine the red, like, I was gonna say kabuki mask, the red, like, evil, like, mask emoji. That's what I feel like with, look, I'm literally spiking the mic because I'm so angry. That's what I feel like about that scene. I hate it. Anyways, happy St. Patty's Day. And that was Hot Takes with Haley. Oh my gosh, wait. Maybe that's my little thing. Hot Takes with Haley. That's kind of fun. Okay, wait, last thing. Let's end on a better note. You guys, the weather has been so nice. I've been walking home from work every day. It's like just under a mile and a half. It's so nice. And it's so fresh. I love my girl Lizzie McAlpine. I love her so much. Like, I love so many different artists. Like, obviously I love Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande, Billie Eilish, Sabrina Carpenter, Chapel Roan. Like, I love, and like older music too. Fleetwood Mac. Oh, I'm a Fleetwood Mac girly. The Go-Go's, Spice Girls. Anyways, I could keep going and going and going. But Lizzie McAlpine, like, there is something about her that speaks to my soul. And I love 5 Seconds Flat. That album has to be like one of my, honestly, probably my top favorite album ever. Like, genuinely, I think it is. I can bet that I know maybe 95% of those lyrics for that entire album. And the only reason I don't say 100 is because, like, little like filler words I probably mess up. I love that album so much. Every night that I would drive around in Florida just to drive on repeat, that album, full blast, windows down, singing, oh my gosh. But I've been listening to Older and Wiser, her most recent album, and it's so beautiful. The Spring into Summer, been listening to that one nonstop. Older, been listening to that one. And this one's from one of her older albums, but To the Mountains, I love that one so much. And Called Your Mom, Noah Kahan featuring Lizzie McAlpine, is so beautiful. Those songs just, like, bring me such peace. And so if you haven't listened to those songs, you need to educate yourself. You need to feel those vibes. They're so cozy, but also it just feels like a breath of fresh air. Like, literally that moment when you walk outside and you're like, I can smell spring. That is what Lizzie McAlpine does to my soul. And so it's the best too, just listening to those songs in the shower, because it just feels so like peaceful. And the best way that I listen to wow, that is a tongue twister, that I listen to Lizzie McAlpine is lights off in my apartment, windows open, laying in bed or laying on the floor, and just peace and listening to it and hearing these sounds of outside. And and I heard Cardinal singing this past week, and it just, like, it's so beautiful. So treat yourself, listen to some Lizzie McAlpine. I love my girl. And that's all I got for this week, you guys. Happy St. Patty's Day. Drink responsibly. Go pinch some people that aren't wearing green. And shout out to my Irish people. Love ya. Hoping to find some pots of gold. Feel like that's the least you could do. I just would really appreciate that little donation to me. Redheads, put on some sunscreen because the sun is coming out. And love ya. Have a great week, you guys. And this has been Oh My Lanta.